Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Here's a good idea. Have a point. It makes it so much more interesting for the listener.
Welcome to Camel X, Overnight America. Brad Young sitting in for the vacationing Ryan Recker. Actually, he's not vacationing. He's filling in tomorrow for Mark Reardon. Now, this is what I don't understand. And hi, everybody. Again, Brad Young sitting in for Ryan. You know, I was on Camel X this morning on overtime. I was here at the station at 8 o'clock in the morning. Now, I'm here at 11 o'clock at night. I'll be with you till 1 a.m., so don't go asleep. And yet, Ryan can't apparently work the overnight and then come in tomorrow from 2 to 4? I mean, I don't get that. What are you, a furloughed government worker? I mean, I don't understand why you can't do that. But in any event, I got to give him a hard time because apparently it violates his SAG-AFTRA contract. I'm not exactly sure. But since that doesn't apply to me, here I am. I was here this morning, and I'm here with you this evening. And most of all, I'm glad that you are here with us this evening. We got lots of stuff on tap as the evening unfolds, and we're going to listen to lots of clips and have some fun as the evening goes on. One of the things is one of my heroes is Elon Musk. And not, I don't agree with everything, and certainly I don't agree with him smoking weed on NASA video whenever he's being interviewed on television. But one of the things is I'm going to play a quote from him this evening because there's a poll came out today. It's not just a poll of Americans, and we see those all the time, but it's an interesting poll because the magazine polled simply people who are involved with the tech industry. And the poll was, what do you think about artificial intelligence? Are we going to be better off or worse off than we are now in 10 years based upon artificial intelligence? And so Elon Musk has got a lot of ideas and thoughts and concerns, anxieties, neuroses, fears, etc. about artificial intelligence. So we're going to hear from Elon Musk this evening on his take. And then after we hear from Elon Musk, and we're going to do this in the next segment, probably towards the bottom of the hour. But at some point, I'm going to open the phone lines up because I want to hear from you, not right now, but at the bottom of the hour. We're going to open up the phone lines because since we're going to be talking about technology, I wanted to hear from you about what is your favorite piece of technology, or perhaps even what's the best invention that you've experienced in your lifetime. And so we'll talk more about that as the evening unfolds. But there's a lot of other things in the news that we're going to get to. Also, in the next segment, we're going to play the mystery audio clip. Now, what do I mean by that? If you've been listening to Ryan the last couple of weeks, you know that Ryan made a trip out to the KMOX broadcast, the transmitter rather, and he's been going through the KMOX archives. And he's found some gems, some diamonds in the rough of audio clips that have frankly been sitting on analog reel-to-reel tapes in a box for years, perhaps decades. So he wanted to leave one of those for me. He wouldn't tell me what it is. Only producer Mike knows what it is, and he's sworn to secrecy. So we're going to play this clip in the next segment and discuss the interview that comes from the archives of KMOX history. And also this evening, we're going to talk about Ruth Bader Ginsburg. And yes, that was an intentional slip. So just in case you're wondering, we're going to talk about her because this is the third day in a row that Justice Ginsburg has missed oral arguments at the Supreme Court. And so the last couple of days, I've had, I don't know, maybe a dozen people say to me, "Hey, Brad, you're a lawyer. What's the deal here? Can she be kicked off the Supreme Court if she doesn't show up for oral argument. So we're going to talk about that also as we get further into the show. But the other thing we can't escape, I'm not going to spend all evening on this, but you can't escape the proverbial elephant in the room when it comes to the border dispute and the border wall. And I'm going to go through some things because I was wondering that we're fighting about $5 billion. And, you know, that's the kind of, you know, that's the kind of money that Charlie Brennan makes in a year. But, you know, $5 billion to most of us is a lot of money. To a federal government that spends $4 trillion a year, $5 billion isn't even beer money. I mean, it's just almost non-existent kind of money. But that's what we're fighting about. So I compiled a list of what does the government spend its money on. And I say it's money, but folks, it's your money. It's my money. It's our money. Because there is no government tree where politicians go and pick dollar bills when they need to buy something. It comes from your wallet and your purse, and it comes from my bank account. That's where that comes from. So I wanted to look at what are some of the other things that government spends money on, because we're fighting over $5 billion. Let's see how that compares to other worthwhile expenditures that the government spends some money on. So we're going to look at that. Also, there's a viral video today, and I'm going to play you the audio from this viral video because it's from a TV show in the 1950s that references Trump building a wall. It's crazy. I have not made this up. I have not doctored the audio. I'll play it for you in one of the upcoming segments because you won't believe your ears. It discusses Trump building a wall, and it's from the 1950s. So, I mean, I don't know if they were using Ouija boards. I don't know how they were doing that, but it's amazing, and I will play that for you. And then also, like I said, we're going to be talking about some technology issues. We're going to have fun. So I hope that you will stay with us till at least 1 o'clock this morning. Brad Young sitting in for Ryan Recker on Overnight America.
News at the top of every hour. St. Louis's news, traffic, and weather.
Welcome back to Camel X. Overnight America, Brad Young sitting in for Ryan Recker. And speaking of Ryan, I mentioned it before the break, but all week and even I think into some of last week, Ryan's been talking about all of these audio clips that he found. And I got to tell you this, he texted me, Ryan texted me a picture of the emergency booth, or the emergency studio rather, at the transmitter. And, you know, listen, I'm a sucker for Terminator movies and sci-fi movies, okay? So I'm looking at this picture, and it reminds me of the second Terminator movie when they go into the bottom of the mountain, and it's designed to for the president to transmit to the country in the event of a nuclear war. That's what this place looks like. I mean, it's not set up the same way, but that's what it reminded me of, that there is actually a studio at the transmitter site. So if for some reason the Camo X studios are targeted by the Russians or the Chinese to be attacked with nuclear weapons, folks, rest assured that we will still be broadcasting even from the transmitter because there is a studio there, and I thought that was very cool. But in addition to that, there was all of these archives and boxes and lots of boxes filled with analog audio tape. And I tried to explain this to one of my daughters, and they said, well, I'm sorry, what does audio tape mean? So, no, they didn't say that. I just made that up. I tell them that my first car was a 72 El Camino with an 8-track tape player, and they have no idea what I'm talking about. But in this instance, though, Ryan found all of these clips, these audio archives, and he actually chased down some of the highlights. And earlier this week, he played, and I thought it was fabulous, when he played the Jack Buck speech from his induction into the Radio Hall of Fame. And I thought, whom could be any better of an ambassador for both St. Louis and Camel X than Jack Buck? So Ryan texted me, and he also talked to me, and he said he was going to leave one of these clips for me. And he actually made producer Mike swear to secrecy. So I have no idea what we're going to hear, but we'll talk about it after we hear this mystery audio clip from the Camel X archives.
It won't be too long before one of the most awaited films of the year opens up. It's Superman 2. Our guest this morning is its star, Christopher Reeve, and we'll be back to talk to him about Superman 2 after we first talk about Hi-Fi-Fo number 1, the one and only, and their wonderful world of the total entertainment experience out at 1155 Big Bend Boulevard. Saturday afternoon is a great time to visit Hi-Fi-Fo Fum. It's a relaxing, fun place, whether you're talking about car stereo, whether you're talking about a speaker seminar. And again, Saturday afternoon is a great time to take the speaker seminar. Lasts about 25 minutes. Bring your own tapes or records if you want. It's also great to bring the kids out and take a look at the beautiful life-size television display. They've got about 10 life-size televisions on display there. Plus, they've got their own Earth satellite station where they can pick up 90 channels of TV from satellite. Lots of fun things to do this very afternoon because they're open until 5 at Hi-Fi-Fo-Fum, 1155 Big Bend Boulevard, the total entertainment experience. Telephone number is 647-3606. Actor Christopher Reeve is not just another fly-by-night movie star who got lucky and made millions in motion pictures. He's a very serious actor currently starring at the new Apollo Theater in New York in the dramatic hit 5th of July. Now, if you get all this worldwide publicity like Christopher Reeve has, you would think you would really be beleaguered in public. Not so.
I'd love to tell you that I get mobbed in the streets and I can't move and I take a limousine everywhere, but it's not true. I mean, I'm not really recognized wherever I go. I mean, I, you know, take the subways and, you know, go do my own shopping and move around quite freely, and I like it that way. I would not want to be an isolated star who can't go out in public and feeling cut off from the world. I'm really glad that the movie did well and it, you know, it changed my life around, but my privacy has not really been invaded. I'm still pretty much the same old guy I always was, I guess. You know, I mean, I just really have found that the benefits by far outweigh the disadvantages. The benefits are the ability to choose your project. They're having the respect of the public, of being noticed. And the downside is just, you know, you get your picture taken every now and again, and sometimes they write silly gossip about you in those supermarket newspapers. But that's a small price to pay. I really enjoy it.
Superman 2, which comes out this summer, was our next topic of conversation with Christopher Reeve, and we talked about that in comparison with the first movie.
From what I understand from people in the business, like exhibitors who have seen it, they think that the second film is better than the first. How do you feel?
Well, you can't say, you know, we have a tendency in our society to say good, better, best all the time. And you can't do that with two because it is stylistically so different from one that you can't compare them. It's really apples and oranges. You see, part one dealt on a fairly serious level with some of the mythological overtones of Superman, you know, the kind of symbolism of he came from Krypton and grew up in the wheat fields of Kansas and became himself and all this kind of stuff. And it was done as a kind of homage to, well, you know, sort of a mythical American figure with a certain respect for the kind of history. Now, part two, while keeping all that intact, we have just done with the exposition. We now know all the characters, and we get right to the action. And I think that with a different director, Richard Lester directed part two, it's a much lighter style, a more romantic style. It's a funnier picture. It moves faster, but it's stylistically totally different. I find them both very entertaining, but in a totally different way.
So we've had Superman 1. We'll soon have Superman 2. And the obvious question is this.
How do you feel about yourself personally being involved in a Superman 3?
No one's even discussed Superman 3 with me. I mean, I would have no objections at all as long as it's a good idea. I mean, I just want to make sure that it's not some stupid rip-off sequel, you know, that's just to make bucks for the studio. I mean, if someone's got a real bright idea what to do with the character, I'm all for it. But as I've said a couple of times on talk shows, once you have flown and loved and stop time and turn the world backwards, I really don't know what you're going to do for an encore.
That's actor Christopher Reeve, star of Superman 1 and Superman 2. And in case you're interested, the exhibitor Mid-America tells me that Superman 2 will open approximately mid-June, and you can look for it then. We've got 5 new films opening this weekend: Excalibur, Dirty Tricks, Goin' Ape, Breaker Morant, a fine film from Australia, and Sylvester Stallone's new movie, Nighthawks. We'll be back throughout the weekend in our movie capsules to talk about all of them. I'm Harry Hamm on Entertainment. It's time to get back to Jack Carney. Whatever your plans this weekend, I hope you have a great one.
What a great clip. And I hope you enjoyed that as much as I did. Producer Mike and I were laughing at that the whole time for several reasons. First of all, that was a young Harry Hamm. Speaking of Harry, I probably had hair when this interview was done. That's how long ago that was. But he had his voice completely different. You know, he sounds a lot different. He's a whole lot younger than what he is now. But also what's interesting is at the time that interview was done, I mean, think about it. When you think about Christopher Reeve today, if you even know who that is, I mean, if you're 30, you probably don't. I don't know, 25, you don't know who that is. But if you think about Christopher Reeve today, I mean, you obviously think of his accident, and he's been in a wheelchair, and he was a champion as an advocate for the rights of the disabled. And yet when that interview was done, he didn't know what was coming up in his very near future. He didn't know. He couldn't have known. He's not omniscient. So he didn't know what was coming up for him. And so it's interesting that little snippet in time, not only do we get to laugh and hear Harry Hamm that we all know and love, but we also got to hear a pre-injured Christopher Reeve. And it's rather sobering because, you know, I mean, none of us know what our future holds. We don't know what's going to happen 10 minutes from now. And neither did Christopher Reeve, even someone who was successful, a millionaire, hit movies, and he seems like he had everything going for him. And yet we just don't know what lies ahead. But what's interesting, and maybe this is why Ryan thought I would particularly like that, is there's a fantastic bit of trivia about that first and second Superman movie. And the fact is that when the movie was shot, Richard Donner was the director of the first movie, but he shot it as both the first and the second movie. He had them shot as a single movie. So when Gene Hackman and when Christopher Reeve were doing that movie, they thought they were just shooting one movie. And after they did it, then the producers decided, you know, we've got 6 hours of movies here. What are we going to do? Let's cut it into two movies. We make twice as much money. And so there was litigation ensued. What? There was litigation ensued. And of course, I'm always in favor of litigation as long as the lawyers get paid. That's what my wife tells me to say. It's always good when the lawyers get paid. So in that movie, there was litigation because it was set up as one movie, but it ended up being two movies. And so that's a fascinating bit of trivia. Plus, Gene Hackman's one of my all-time favorite actors, and he is such a great bad guy in that movie, isn't he? I mean, he's just fantastic. And if you want to see how well Gene Hackman aged, you can certainly watch Enemy of the State, which is another movie. 1999, Enemy of the State, fantastic movie because it foretells the privacy issues that you and I now live with every single day. That was a groundbreaking, very prescient movie in that it foretold exactly what we are seeing and living in now when it comes to the complete and total absence of our privacy. So if you want to see another great Gene Hackman movie, make sure that you check out Enemy of the State. And since we're talking about runaway technology and technology fears, when we come back from this break, we're going to open up the phone lines at 314-436-7900, 314-436-7900. Why? Because we're going to talk about technology. And when we talk about technology and artificial intelligence, and we're going to hear from Elon Musk, I want to find out what is your favorite piece of technology that you own. And of course, the easy answer is my cell phone. But what is your favorite piece of technology? And I want to also find out from you, what is the best technological invention that you've experienced in your lifetime? So don't tell me the light bulb or the invention of the wheel. Don't tell me that. But what you've personally experienced, what's your favorite piece of technology? As we start to look at what are the downsides of technology, certainly with artificial intelligence. Brad Young sitting in for the so-called vacationing Ryan Recker on Overnight America. Don't go away.
This is Overnight America with Ryan Recker on KMOX.
Welcome back to KMOX, Overnight America. Brad Young sitting in for Ryan Recker. And we're going to be looking at and talking about some technology issues in this hour. And certainly I want to hear your input on your favorite technology. I mean, What technology do you use? Phones, computers, whatever it could be. It could be a pager. You know, maybe you were rocking the pager in the 80s. Whatever it might be that is has been your favorite piece of technology, I would like to hear from you on that, because I'm going to be talking about some of the downsides of technology when it comes to artificial intelligence. So if you'd like to share some technology thoughts, phone lines are open at 314-436-7900. And if you heard Ryan this week, we've got people who listen from Toronto to California. If you want to call in on our 800 line, it's 800-925-1120. But before we get to some of these technology stories tonight, I have to share this with you because I literally laughed out loud. I was talking to Brad Choate in the newsroom before the show, and the story just broke this evening. I guess I shouldn't have used the word broke, about the trolley car, the loop trolley that got hit by another car. And I just got to tell you, all of the problems with this trolley getting off the ground, it just reminded me of that old joke about the sign that you see for the lost dog. You know, the dog has one eye, mangled left ear, paralyzed hind leg, crooked tail, but it answers to the name Lucky. And I just keep thinking we should be calling the trolley loop, we should be calling it the Lucky Line, because it's basically it's missing an eye, it's got a broken hind leg, and it does to answer to Lucky. And I was also reminded that during the construction of the trolley line, I heard this statistic, and of course it's an unfair comparison. Obviously, I'm setting that up in advance. But the loop trolley, which runs about 2 miles, it cost half as much money as the first transcontinental railroad that ran from California, the East Coast, to the West Coast. So what is that, a couple of thousand miles? And the loop trolley runs 2 miles and cost half as much. So there you have it. It should be answering to the name, the Lucky Line. And maybe we should start a petition to get that name changed. But when we talk about technology, I mean, certainly it impacts us all. I mean, how many of us have seen those videos now of people getting face planted in the fountain at the mall because they're staring at their phone instead of, hey, look where you're going. You know, they're not watching where they're going. And so they're staring at the phone and bang, they fall into the fountain. Pretty funny, as long as it doesn't happen to you or your spouse. So, but our technology surrounds us today. I mean, even in, you know, it's interesting. If you could see the Camo X studio, we're surrounded by all this high-tech equipment. And yet, you know, somebody on your phone sitting in Poughkeepsie, New York with a cell phone can get access to almost as much information. So that's truly a phenomenal sea change when it comes to tech. I mean, I'm a tech guy. I love technology. I've built multiple computers at my office, at my law firm office. If the computers go down, yes, I'm the IT guy. And one of the attorneys that works for me, she tells me that I'm her office husband, because when her phone doesn't work, she hands it to me, calls me by her husband's name and says, here, fix it. So yeah, that's my role in life. But yet, there are downsides to technology. And I mentioned Elon Musk in the last segment, because Elon, again, you got to love the guy. He is a modern day, real life, walking Tony Stark. I mean, let's get real. He's Tony Stark. And in fact, he had a cameo in the second Iron Man movie, which I thought was fabulous, because if there's anyone who could be Tony Stark other than, you know, Robert Downey Jr., who is really Tony Stark, but Elon Musk is the real deal. I mean, he makes cool things and he dreams up fantastic gadgets and ideas. He wanted to start a company that made electric cars and he did it. He wanted to go into space. He did it. And he's probably going to go to the moon and he can say, I've been there, done that. So that's pretty cool. So, but he has his own concerns about artificial intelligence. So before we get into this poll that I found today that I think is fascinating about artificial intelligence, here's Elon Musk's take on artificial intelligence.
I think we should be very careful about artificial intelligence. If I were to guess at what our biggest existential threat is, it's probably that. So we need to be very careful with artificial intelligence. We are summoning the demon. You know all those stories where there's the guy with the pentagram and the holy water, and he's like, yeah, you sure he can control the demon? Didn't work out. If there's some vast intelligence that either develops a will of its own or is subject to the will of a small number of people, then we could have an undesirable future. If there's a superintelligent, particularly if it's engaged in recursive self-improvement, if there's some digital superintelligence and its optimization or utility function is something that's detrimental to humanity, then it will have a very bad effect. It's going to come faster than anyone appreciates. I think it's with each passing year, the sophistication of computer intelligence is growing dramatically. I mean, I really think we're on an exponential improvement path of artificial intelligence. And the number of smart humans that are developing AI is also increasing dramatically.
So the phrase that you heard Elon Musk say when he called artificial intelligence, he said, "We're summoning the demon." I mean, that, folks, that gets right to the heart of his concern about artificial intelligence. That's not pussyfooting around, as the phrase goes. He gets right to the heart of his concerns, and we're going to get into some of those concerns because those came out in the Pew Research study that was released today, and I'm going to go through that in a moment. But first, I want to hear from Jim. Jim, I asked the question earlier this evening about, you know, technology and what's your favorite technology before we get into all the doom and gloom and the Terminator syndrome. But what has been your favorite piece of technology?
In the early 80s, I worked for a local stock brokerage firm that had an email system for their representatives. They had about 1,000 representatives at the time, and I could send a message, no attachments, but I could send a message to a broker in Salina, Kansas, or Amarillo, Texas, or even like a whole group of reps out of a particular state. And if you think about, it was the early 80s and the ability to do that,
that was amazing.
Yeah, it really is. So it's a name that most people would recognize as far as firms here in St. Louis. But yeah, that was pretty impressive. And maybe the second thing, the fax machine was so... It just blew our minds at the time that, wow, we could just stick a piece of paper in here and it's going to wind up.
Well, yeah,
but miles away.
I know, Jim, but I got to mock it somewhat now because you stick a paper in a fax machine and wow, 20 minutes later it shows up where you sent it, you know, where you can text someone instantly. And again, I was thinking as you were telling the interesting story about your first encounters with email and sending them around. I've got three daughters, two of which are in their early 20s, and they mock me because I like email. Oh, Dad, that's so 90s. You're using email. Ooh, that's really high tech. And they mock it. And yet, from your perspective, and certainly from my perspective, when I first started working at a law firm, I had the same awe-inspiring experience of sending an email in the late 1980s. And, you know, today it seems ridiculous. But at the time, it was truly groundbreaking.
Yeah. It made things move so much quicker. It was almost as if every month there was some other new idea that came up where we could utilize this email system. We eventually, we put our continuing education programs on this email system and wound up saving the company thousands of dollars because we didn't have to use third parties for it anymore.
Wow. Well, thanks for sharing that, Jim. And, Thanks for rocking the email in the 80s.
All right, thanks.
Hey, thanks for calling in this evening. We're going to take a break, and when we come back, if you've got some favorite technology stories or maybe even how you think technology is the bane of your existence, I'd like to get all perspectives. Certainly, phone lines are open, 314-436-7900. And then after the break, we'll look at this Pew Research poll and see what the dangers are, at least what scientists and engineers think are the dangers or potential dangers from artificial intelligence. Brad Young, sitting in for Ryan Recker on Overnight America. Hey, Producer Mike, we need to talk to Recker about about getting one of those that says Y-O-U-N-G. I don't know how he put that together, but we'll have to get him to work on that. Welcome back to Camo X, Overnight America. Brad Young sitting in for Ryan Recker. And we've been talking about technology this evening, and I'm going to go through this some interesting polling data. If you've got some favorite technology stories about your favorite technology or the technology that drives you crazy, we'd certainly like to hear it. 314-436-7900. What's interesting about polls is this. A lot of times, you've got to understand, particularly during the political season, polls are not designed to inform. They really aren't, because a poll that's done 6 months before an election is meaningless. A poll that's done a year before an election is pointless. So more often than not, the purpose of polls is to not reflect public opinion, but to shape public opinion. And I actually had a professor when I was studying political science at Southern Illinois University at Carbondale. His name was David Durge. He was President Nixon's pollster. And he always liked to say that he left the White House pre-Watergate. But, you know, he would make that point, too, that you poll to obtain information, but you also poll to shape information and to drive the news cycle. Well, this is not that kind of poll. This is a poll that talks about and was asking questions from tech people, from real tech people, from engineers to electrical engineers, computer engineers, visionary people who are trying to determine where we're going to be in 20, 30 years technologically. And so when I get to this poll in a minute, I want you to understand it's not just a poll of Americans who have an opinion, but it's a poll of engineers who are directing the advance of technology. But before we get to that, though, Mike's been holding a while. And Mike, you don't like technology that makes mistakes, do you?
No, but there's a variety of things I do like. It works most of the time, but I don't like the mistakes, correct. But what I do like about the artificial intelligence and stuff, I like Google, and because you could ask information, and I like putting live videos on there and guitar. And they even got things I learned. I'm immersed with funny. They even got a pastor robot. And if you look at YouTube, it's so funny. He's dancing around in a church, and it's just hilarious to me.
So, Mike, let me stop you, because I want to make sure I get this straight, Mike. You're a YouTuber? Is that what I'm hearing?
Oh, yeah. I sing live on YouTube. It makes my voice sound better. I get good views, but I'm not a good singer. But I never took guitar lessons. But one song I got on a stomach block, they say I sound like Hank Williams. And my brother said, yeah, I sing like Hank Williams with mashed potatoes in my mouth. And he said he was joking. And some people say it sounds like Johnny Cash on YouTube. But I like that you can sing on there or make comments, you know, or views. But I mainly don't like the mistakes. But there's good things in there, like Rifleman I get to watch for free. I love that. And, you know, and I also like this Blessed Robot. Did you hear about that? That's so funny. Which you
yes.
go to this robot and you talk to it, and then you put it gives you like a receipt for your blessing. So you got pastor robots. It's really funny. And how you find out, you just Google it. You say, Google, pastor robot, and on YouTube or Rifleman for free. But I like mostly the artificial challenge a lot, but I just don't like the mistakes. That's
well,
the
Mike, I've heard you for a long time on Overnight America, and you've completely reshaped my vision of you, Mike. Knowing that you're now a YouTuber, I'm gonna have to look into that. So, what would we put
Facebook
into YouTube to find you, Mike?
Just my name. I don't mind sharing it on their live anyway. It's Michael Hanlon.
Okay.
One song is Phil Lowdown Gospel, and I didn't like it because I'm not a good singer, but I got 508 views. That's good for me. I'm not way up there keen, but I'm not a good singer. And some people say I sound like Johnny Cash or Bob Dylan. I think that's funny.
Okay. Well, we will be checking it out, Mike. Thanks for sharing.
Bye-bye.
Uh-huh. Good night. So, yeah, when you think of technology, you think of Elon Musk and apparently now Mike with his YouTube performances. So we'll have to check that out. But getting back to this poll, it's a Pew Research poll. And what's interesting here is I'm going to go through some of this for you, because this is what I think is very interesting. It tried to categorize, and there's interviews with lots of folks in this poll. I'm not going to go through all of that. But the bottom line is, here are some of the concerns that were voiced. 63% of these folks said that they're hopeful that most individuals will be better off by 2030, which is only 11 years from now. but 37% said that people will not be better off. And again, this isn't just man on the street. You know, if you go up and I love these man on the street interviews where they say, name one person on the Supreme Court. Crickets. They can't name a single person on the Supreme Court, but name all the members of the Kardashian family. Bang, they can nail that. Okay, so that shows you those aren't folks that you really want to go to as drivers of information and policy if they can name all the Kardashians, but no one on the Supreme Court. Yet this is a poll of folks who are in the business, who are leaders in the tech industry, and 37% of those folks said that people will not be better off by 2030 with technology, that we're going to be in a worse position than what we're in now. And these were some of the concerns. These were some of the concerns here that were listed. For example, individuals will experience a loss of control over their lives. Now, think about this. I'm going to try to get you to apply it to yourself as we think about some of these issues, because even if you've got social media right now, I don't have Facebook, I don't have Twitter, and I purposefully mispronounce it when I'm talking to my daughters just because I love to irritate them. So whenever they talk about somebody contacting them, I'll say, oh, did they contact you by Snapface? And they'll say, Dad, come on, there's no such thing as Snapface. I'm like, okay, well, all right, I'm going for the easy laughs. But in this instance, individuals will experience a loss of control. So I hear from people when I talk to them about their social media, which is one of the many reasons why I don't have social media, is do you ever feel that you lost control over your life whenever you're spending most of your life on social media? I've had people tell me that that's absolutely the case. So we're not even talking about 2030. We're talking about right now. A loss of control of our lives. Also, data abuse. And I've got a story here in my stack of stuff about AT&T that up to this point, AT&T and Sprint and T-Mobile, I don't know if you know this, but they've been selling not just your personal information, but right now, as of today, they've finally, AT&T announced that they're going to stop selling your location data. So it's not just information about who you are, but it's information about where you are. And AT&T, Sprint, and T-Mobile have all been selling that information to people for as little as $300. You could buy a mass bulk piece of information that's got, it tags where individuals are and their location. To me, that's phenomenal loss of privacy. So again, not even 2030, that's what the poll was asking, but you could make the case today that data abuse and surveillance with our phones puts us in a worse position than we otherwise would be. The next big concern of these folks, job losses. Now, people are wildly speculating, and I've seen stats all over the board about how many jobs could be lost because of technology. And we don't know what that number is. But we do know that if you look at the manufacturing sector right now in America and is coming in China, that robotics are a great thing. They make the vehicles more cheaply. They make them more quickly. They increase the efficiency of the production process and arguably make a better product. And yet the result of that is there are fewer and fewer people in manufacturing jobs. So what happens when, instead of calling your favorite attorney, Brad Young, at the law firm of Harris, Dow, Fisher & Young, instead of calling that, you dial into robolawyer.com and get your legal advice from a bot, then I'm out of job and I got to start working overnights on Camo X. So it could be a job displacement problem for folks as technology continues to improve. Dependency was another one of the things that was mentioned as being a problem. What do I mean by dependency? No, I'm not talking about necessarily being addicted to drugs, but being addicted to technology. And there was I can't remember what company it was, and Mike, if you remember, let me know, but there was a company this past, right at the end of December, that said if you could agree to go a year without your cell phone, they would pay you $100,000. And I don't remember what company that was, but it ignited a lot of debate about could you do without technology? And that's interesting because I can promise you right now there would be folks who would say they would not do without technology like that.
I think that was Vitamin Water.
Vitamin Water. Okay. And was it 100 grand?
Yes.
Okay. So that's a question. You know, would you take 100 grand to do without your cell phone for a year? I mean, for the first month, it would be great because I got 100 grand. But after that, people can't reach you. You become dependent on social media. That dependency is a problem. You know, for example, whenever I was in law school, Westlaw was all the latest rage when I was in law school in the 1980s. And they would allow you to use Westlaw for free, which I thought was great for 3 years of law school. But then when you got out of law school, it was terribly expensive. And so my third year of law school, I talked to the Westlaw representative and I said, you know, you've got the marketing plan of a drug dealer. You've got the marketing plan of a heroin dealer. And they're like, what do you mean? I said, well, you get me addicted to it for 3 years for free. And then for the rest of my life, you're going to overcharge me for the same product. And they didn't find the humor in it that I did. But dependency is a big issue. And of course, the mother of all issues is the bot-driven weapons of war, the Terminator syndrome. We've all seen Terminator 2. We know what happens. When Skynet goes online, you know, the missiles are flying. So those are the downsides to technology, even though if you look around our society today, if you look in your own wallet, purse, or nightstand, you probably depend on technology as much as the next person. Brad Young sitting in for Ryan Recker. We're going to continue this discussion, among others, on Overnight America, KMOX.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.